Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It is time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax so we can chat about what is happening in the stars above. And could we have predicted anything more serious than an assassination attempt for the Mars conjunct Uranus transit? Now, of course, that's exact today, but as you know, and as we all experience, often those transits are occurring before, or the crux of that transit occurs before the actual day that it is exact. Sometimes it's exact when it happens, but often it is before, and sometimes even occurs just a bit afterwards. I'm not one to really love to go into politics because it's such a divisive topic, but already you can see how this is being used in ways big and small for manipulation purposes. That is interesting to watch because Mars is also a co-ruler of the sign Scorpio, and today the moon is in Scorpio. Actually, yesterday the moon began its transit through Scorpio. So we see some of those undercurrents that are starting to pop up to the surface, and it'll be an interesting time for all of us here in the United States, but I dare say it impacts everybody from around the world. It may have happened, you know, there may have been the assassination attempt here, but the same volatility that bred that, the same unexpectedness that bred that exists everywhere. So it's not just here in the US. It just was pretty striking though about how that happened here over the weekend. Anyway, though, today we're going to dive a little deeper into the Mars-Uranus conjunction, but at the same time, in the background of it all is the square from Chiron to the sun. And as that's occurring there, it brings the possibility for healing, but it is a choice, right? Healing becomes a choice. It doesn't just happen. It happens with every choice that we make about how we respond to this particular issue, any issue actually in your own life. And if we think about this as a moment in time, then we miss something. Then we're too caught up in the sun at gate 62 this week, where we're seeing the details, but we're not seeing the bigger picture. And so this particular Mars conjunct Uranus is occurring not in a vacuum, but against the backdrop of a bigger picture of change and transformation that is also a part of the Pluto return for the United States of America. But in every country around the world, it's impacting them in whatever way their chart is set up. And it just so happens that as we look at Trump's chart, for example, the Mars-Uranus conjunction was close to his midheaven. And that makes him almost the figurehead for the greater meaning of this particular conjunction, right? It is striking to me to think about the anger and the vitriol that, well, it's spewed by everybody, but in particular, by this particular person, and how that incites others and triggers others into doing things that are these unexpected things. That doesn't make it right or wrong. He's doing his job here on the planet for whatever reason he signed up to be here, and we've signed up to be here with him on the planet. But it doesn't make what happened right. In no world is it right to take your beliefs and use them as a weapon against others. And this is sort of that reaction to that I'm seeing, you know, that he was a bullied loner. Someone told me that he was actually once a very strong supporter of the Republican Party and of Trump, but then something ideologically happened and he changed and took it upon himself to try to right a situation. And it should be a wake-up call for all of us. It should be a wake-up call for Trump, for sure. It should be a wake-up call for every person in this country. But it also should be a wake-up call for the whole entire world, where all of humanity is grappling with these very issues, right? These massive changes that are occurring as we are struggling as humans to move more toward that golden age. I know it's hard to see that in the midst of all of this BS that is happening, but that is the evolutionary intent, right? That if you step back and you look from, you know, the position of the cosmos, not just the earth or just the solar system even, but the cosmos, we are becoming more divine. We are becoming more aware of our consciousness and how we are consciously or unconsciously creating the reality. And it always, 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 always comes down to choice. What we do, what we say in any given moment, against the backdrop of anything that is happening in our lives personally, in our collective lives, is the key, right? There's the key. We can do all kinds of things, but one of the things I believe that we really have to do is to come together, right? It's interesting to look at the Mars-Uranus conjunction through the eyes of the Sabian symbols, or through an astrological mandala by Dane Rudier. So Uranus and Mars are conjunct at 26 degrees, 15 minutes or 19 minutes, something I can't read. My eyes are still blurry, of Taurus. And so when we look this up, instead of going with the Sabian symbols, you always go to the next degree. So instead of me reading it 26 degrees, I'm going to read it the 27th degree. And it says, an old Indian woman selling the artifacts of her tribe to passersby. And the keynote, here's the keynote, which seems so upside down: peaceful adaptation to collective needs. In contrast to the impetuosity of the Spanish serenader, which was the symbol before, we now see the quiet and smiling face of an old Indian woman offering for sale the traditional products of her tribal culture. She too is functioning within the culture, which has been sustaining her activity through a long life, bringing her to her personal peace and inner contentment. In old age, the power of the collectivity once more reasserts itself, overcoming the perhaps wearying effort man makes to assert his uniqueness and individual character. So at this second stage of the sequence of the unfolding of Taurus energy, it is about adjustment. Adjustment to the vital needs of the whole, of which we see ourselves as a fleeting part. So while there's not a one-to-one correlation to the upset and the volatility of this aspect at this degree, what we see is the eventual outcome of this, which is our ability to come together in a peaceful pursuit of the things that we hold dear, the values that we have. And that's, again, our choice. Do we decide to go crazy with it, or do we decide that we just take this as a blip on the screen, another signpost along the way showing us where we're out of alignment with what we truly value, and an opportunity then to move more into alignment with that which we say that we profess to value? Right? Peace, love, togetherness, oneness, universal mind, universal love, right? So many different things, that different ways in which that we could spin this particular event. So let's see here. Good morning to everybody that's popping in. I saw Christine this morning. Diana S., good morning. Can you feel the love? She says she has a Pisces moon. Yes, we can hopefully tap into that. I was feeling this morning like it was very quiet, right? Terry was back to work. So my last half an hour this morning was very peaceful, very quiet. Not that he disturbs my peace, but then, you know, there's action and motion going on. I have a cat asleep up there, a cat asleep behind me. It was just peaceful and quiet, right? I'm thinking, where's the chaos? Tom says, aloha, Astro Design family. Good morning, Soul Strategy Therapy. I believe that's Narges. Good morning to you. Diana Mars, Uranus conjunction opposing natal Scorpio, third house square, natal Pluto in Leo. Wow, 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 Diana. So that's a lot of transformation energy, but coming at you from a side of, from unexpectedness, like I didn't see this coming kind of thing. So interesting, interesting. You should share a little bit about what might be, what's the dynamic that's moving through your life right now. J-Lo, happy Monday to you too. Patty Hickox, morning, got the show on the 64-inch. Does that mean you can see every blemish I have? Tom, keep the faith, more to be revealed. Indeed, that's exactly how I feel about it. And he says, take the eagle's view, right? Don't miss the details, right? Don't miss the details, but take the higher perspective, you know? Where I live in the Pacific Northwest, we have these, you know, 150 to 250 foot trees, and eagles love to get up to the top of them and sit because they can see forever. That's what we need to do. Joan Durchy, good morning to you. TD Hawk, good morning. Oh, yeah, very sad, volatile times. And yeah, and yeah. There's something to be said here that I think we miss when we get caught into the personal nature of the changes and things that are going on in our lives. And it's that we signed up for this, right? On a soul level, before you came into this life, there were these potential experiences, you know, from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. These aren't happening to us. We're in some part of the creation of these events, as we knew we would be in our between lives planning. And it's a difficult topic for us humans. It is very difficult because we can't perceive of how it is that we would want to experience rape or murder or the death of a loved one or any of the other negative things. It's not so hard to think about, oh, winning a contest or having, you know, lots of opportunities. Those things, you know, we don't worry about. So we don't really put too much stock in how we might have planned those events as well. But when the big things happen that are not so good, we tend to fall victim to them. And that's the thing we want to watch for, right? This isn't, you know, I know that certain parties that are involved in this will use this event as a manipulation of our emotions. Don't fall for it, right? Keep your eye on the bigger picture and the what it is that we are trying to create here on this planet. So it all leads us there. Good morning, Jacqueline. Choose. That's funny, Tom. Terry Strauss, good morning to you. She says she feels weighted, but feel that we should just send love and light out. I think you're right. Absolutely. And as our resident reflector, she would be in a position of reflecting the mood of all of us, right? That's what reflectors do. They reflect. And she's taking in the mood and she's taking in the weight and reflecting that back to us. TD Hawk, we don't know yet what info they are telling. News is just to give them things to say. I've been involved in a news event and they had 10% correct in what they reported. So I keep that in mind. Good for you. Pauline Chiron doing now astrologically. We're going to get into that. The camera looks blurry, or is it me? Or is it me, right? I'm still sort of bleary-eyed myself. Jamon, good morning. J-Lo, my TV as well. Ooh, interesting. But I see myself clear. I just see that my eyes aren't quite wide yet because I'm still stuffed up. Pauline, the heat is for us to sweat and detox through the skin. So grateful, showering way more. Cold showers, vagus nerve reset. Never mind the event. Richard Simmons died. Correct. Correct. As well as somebody else. Oh, who was that? She played Olive Oil. Shelley Duvall also passed away. And thanks, Tom. RS is much more important than Trump. Richard Simmons, right? The world will miss him. It's funny because just the day before he died, he was on social media and there was no indication that he was ill, even much less that he would die. And Dr. Ruth passed away too. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, let's get down to the astrology, shall we? We've had so much going on. And this is one of those weeks where we will continue to have things going on from today's Mars Uranus conjunction and Chiron square Sun to Jupiter's change of gate in our human designs to, excuse me, to the end of the week when we have a nodal shift. That should be interesting. And as well, at the end of the week, we have Mars moving out of Taurus and into Gemini, where he comes into much smoother sailing waters, I would say, because he'll come into that conjunction with Jupiter. So it won't happen this week, but over the next couple of weeks, that will totally happen. So, as I said at the beginning of the show this morning, Mars is, or Mars, the moon is in Taurus. No. The moon is in Scorpio this morning, and it brings a period of intense emotional energy to us, and it's marked by deep feelings, right? The deeper, darker things that come up, and the potential for the focus on transformation, right? Change, letting go, and also intimacy. So this transit, which, this happens once a month for a couple of days during the month, this influences our emotional state, which the moon is already influencing our emotional state. And then we have it in a water sign, Scorpio, a sign that is known for heightened sensitivity and perceptiveness. And so, of course, what we end up with is deep emotional intensity. And, so I was perceiving quiet and solitude this morning. But part of that was a bit of shock, I think, left over from the events of the weekend, right? And some of you may be feeling that as well. Scorpio is a water sign and it is associated with depth and intensity and the extremes of feeling. So if you find yourself waffling between high joy and high fear or some other kind of anger or some other emotion, that's why, right? When the moon transits through Scorpio, emotions are not only more intense, but more profound, right? In a way that we can tap in and see what is it that we're actually feeling. And that also can bring up passionate responses. So emotional responses during the transit of the moon in Scorpio tend to be more powerful, compelling, and a little bit over the top. Right? They can get that way. We're feeling things more deeply and we react perhaps more passionately. So I would suggest instead of reaction that we respond. We can respond with passion, but let it be passion that leads us to more joyful expression or to more love, right? That's the key. Now, there's increased possibility for insight and intuition during this time, as Scorpio is a sign that takes us into that almost prophetic nature of our intuition. It sharpens, if you will, our intuitive insight and our deeper understanding of the emotional field that we are dealing with, and a deeper look into the situations that we are dealing with. So it can be a time of significant psychological, emotional insights on your path to self-discovery. So interesting, because I always think of the sign of Scorpio as looking for self-mastery or dealing with self-mastery. The sign of Scorpio is the only one with the tri levels, if you will, the lowest level of scorpionic energy being the scorpion, the passive-aggressive nature of the sting coming from behind you, comments or things couched in, that sound on one side, like they're just neutral, but really there's some deeper meaning behind them. And then rising to the level of the eagle, where we can see things from that higher perspective, the eagle in the tallest part of the tree, seeing a 360-degree perspective. And then in its highest, it chooses, transformation, the path of the phoenix, right? Dying to the old, releasing the old, and opening to new birth or rebirth or regeneration energy. So it is a time when the moon is in Scorpio to go possibly focusing on transformation in our lives. You know, Diana, certainly with all that transiting information that you gave us, your life is in the midst of a major transformation. All of our lives are, right? All of our lives are. But for some people, it's more intense than it is for others. Now, this can be all about confronting our fears and or healing emotional wounds or making, you know, pivotal emotional changes in our lives, like deciding that we're not going to react with anger or mistrust or any of those kinds of emotions, instead standing neutral in the face of whatever it is that is shocking or unexpected that is happening around us. Now, Scorpio is also one of the more private signs, and there's an increased need for that emotional privacy, almost as if they, while the moon is in the sign, we want to process through our feelings and emotions in a way that's more in solitude, right? Kind of exploring it ourselves rather than going to group thinking. We want to do more of the inner work on our own selves. And our relationships then can also be impacted by this transit as we're feeling, in a way, it's a feeling of pulling away to be more self-focused. And other people can sense that pulling away and react to that not very well. So we want to, you know, just be able to say, you know, I'm just feeling the need to be more reflective right now. It's not personal, right? So in the moon in Scorpio, it can either be a tool for deepening our bonds with one another, deepening our connection. It can bring us more into emotional depth. But it can also bring up conflict and control issues. So the power dynamics of Scorpio energy are about manipulation, about control and power, right? Power struggles within the relationship. And there's jealousy and possessiveness, and those feelings of jealousy and possessiveness that we all hold. We all have Scorpio somewhere in our chart, so it's not Janet picking on Scorpios or picking on the moon in Scorpio, because we all have it somewhere. So these things can come to the surface now for us to contend with, right? We have to deal with them. So it's a great time for emotional and psychological work, for journaling perhaps, or in some way doing some research and investigation on topics of interest or of topics that, you know, help you go deeper into something that you're trying to master in yourself. There's the mystery, the mystery, the magic that matches the earth at the gate 61 right now that can take us into this deeper search for meaning and uncover the hidden aspects of things that are going on. And then there's transformation and renewal. This is very positive energy. So anything that, you know, stands in contrast to letting go is what we need to work through, because it's a time to let go, right? But it does breed a sort of secrecy and mistrust. Like immediately, I was hearing people say, yeah, something else is going on here. This is a cover up for something else. It related to the shooting, the potential assassination of Trump this weekend. And that is a very Scorpio path to take, right? Seeing that there's likely something more if we dig deeper. So there you have that. So it's a powerful time for us for emotional depth, for transformation, letting go of the baggage, and achieving profound insights into yourself, into your own reasons for doing what you do. But as well, we have to take care with the emotions that come up, things like jealousy, possessiveness, the stinger stuff, passive aggression. All right, let's go a little deeper. I did bring this up on Friday, but I wanted to, you know, make sure that we understand these. The last time that Mars was conjunct Uranus was back, I think, in 2003. And there were powerful eruptions going on at the point in time that this was happening. And it's just about that. That was the last time of the most powerful one. But, you know, every couple of years, Mars is going to come into a conjunction with Uranus, but not always into that exact conjunction, right? They might pass each other, but this isn't exact. And it leads us to sudden breakthroughs at times or sudden changes, right? Something unexpected happens and it shocks us. It awakens us in some way. This isn't about hurting us, although it's painful often, the things that we might experience. But it's definitely an unexpected event or an unexpected action. You know, Mars, planet of action and aggression. Uranus, the planet of liberation, unexpectedness, i.e. awakening. And it can just lead to things that happen in an impulsive way or unexpected moves that we make or that someone else makes that impacts us. And or in the more personal realm, perhaps changes in your financial picture, because we're talking in Taurus, in your relationships, right? Because Venus is the ruler of the sign that Mars and Uranus conjunct in. So we take it into relationships and an upsetting of the harmony or of the status quo, if you will. So what do we need to do during this period of time? Well, we have to stay in a flexible state of mind, let's say, because there's this revolutionary spirit that's running through the collective. There has been, right? We have been experiencing this revolutionary spirit. The drive is to break free from the traditional ways of doing things. The aspect that these two coming together really represents is rebelliousness, a rebellious attitude in some way, right? That challenges that status quo, that breaks the pattern, especially in conservative or established areas of life. Just take that in for a minute, right? The bigger picture is that Uranus brings us innovation. He changes the paradigm. And that might be in technology. It could be in how we run our governments. It could be how we collectively gather. It can be in a lot of different ways. And one of the things that is so striking to me in this is that, at least here in the U.S., I'm not sure about what goes on in other countries in terms of how what the ages are of the people that are stepping into leadership there. But the ages of the two men that are the primary people seeking office of the president here in the U.S. And each one of them, well, each one of them represents the old, but perhaps in a different way, right? Biden really represents the establishment, the and this is not bad or good, right? So don't start yelling at me out there. It's just, this is what it is. And then we have Trump, who is really trying to drag the country backwards. I mean, he's always talking about make America great again, right? The whole MAGA thing. But what made America great in the past isn't sustainable for the now. It isn't sustainable for the future. We have to be able to bring in some new ideas, some new innovation. So not just technology either, but innovate the way that we come together, the way that we view ourselves in the world even must change, right? So these are bigger concepts that really represent the realignment of the values of the nation. Taurus, values, self-worth, self-identity, even being triggered today with Chiron. So lots of big things here. Now, in the conjunction in Taurus, a sign that typically values stability, right? Taurus likes stability. There could be a greater push for change, especially in finances or material independence, right? Looking for a way to keep ourselves not so tied perhaps to the economy. So it could be a period of time where we are redefining not only our values, but our definition of security, our definition of stability. What does it mean on a personal level, but also what does it mean on a national level? And there is high risk, high reward here. Don't undercut that one. The energy of Mars often leads to risk-taking behaviors, the conjunction, excuse me, Mars and Uranus. And it can result in significant gains or sudden losses. We have to be very measured about what it is that we do. It's important to be cautious and not let impulsiveness get you carried away or lead to regrettable decisions, right? Adventurous spirit. There is adventure. The spirit of adventure is here. This is totally an aside. I was thinking about adventure the other day because I have a granddaughter, Lila, who's only 8 months old, 7 months old. And she is such an adventurer, right? She epitomizes to me Sagittarian energy. And guess what? She's a Sagittarius. And I just keep thinking about the spirit of adventure. I mean, she models it as this very, you know, young being who is just incredible. Someday I'll tell you more about her, but her adventurous spirit, and all of us have this adventurous spirit, and it's being triggered within us with this conjunction. And that adventurous spirit wants to break free of the mold of the old, the daily routines, breaking up the status quo, right? So there's a lot of liberation energy potentially here, but it comes at a price with it in conjunction to Mars, right? That's the problem, right? That the impulsivity is hard, the spontaneous nature of this energy. It's hard to predict how it's going to show up. But it's also important to remember to kind of keep it in rein, right? Keep it checked so we don't go way out of bounds. So personal freedom. This is a big one. Personal freedom. Embrace change, right? Be open to making the significant changes in your personal life, in your lifestyle that reflect your true values, not just those dictated to you by society or tradition or your culture or your family, that type of thing. Be independent, right? Interdependent. I'm going to reframe that. Let's be interdependent. We recognize that independence is great. It's great to stand on your own two feet, to be your own person, but no person lives in a vacuum. We are all in this together. So we are interdependent, whether we want to be or not. What we want to avoid is codependency, right? That's at the low end. Independence is one of the higher end energies in this, but interdependence is the bullseye, right? So in a way, initiate things in your life that are personal to you, that are exciting to you. But remember that there's this other piece in what you're doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? Right? Is it to serve the greater good? Is it to serve your family in some way? Keeping in mind the values of what it is that you're aligned with so that when you do push forward, you are doing so in a way that makes sense for you. That also is not damaging to others. Okay. In this particular conjunction, we are learning how to handle disruptions. And staying flexible is the way that we do that, right? We just have to stay flexible. And there might be a need for us to consider the potential for sudden changes and the need for contingency plans just in case, right? So we have a lot of things to think about here. Emergency preparedness, right? How do we handle the big changes that come that are not the ones that we expect, right? So watching out for impulsivity, recklessness, controlling, you know, your behaviors, avoid conflict if possible, right? Don't go out and get behind the wheel of a car, which is ruled by Mars, and start to rage on the road. It's not going to end well, right? That's going to lead to unexpectedness. It heightens the whole aggressive nature of the confrontations that are happening. And it can, you know, lead to the unexpected accident or the harming of someone. So be careful for that. Break free of your comfort zones. Get out of that zone where you're sort of in a groove, right? And it's really difficult to move out of it because it feels good, right? It feels good. Why change something if it's not needing change? But the nature of this world is about change, right? We have to be able to change. So we're in a powerful period of time, it being initiated right now. Remember how I always say when planets come into a conjunction, it's the beginning of a new cycle. So while today is the Mars-Uranus conjunction, it's the beginning of a new cycle that will last for about 2 years before Mars comes around again to a conjunction with Uranus. And of course, at that point in time, it will be in a completely different sign. So we don't want to lose the idea right now of reconfiguring our values, both personally and collectively, right? Embrace the change, stay flexible, da-da-da. I've been saying that forever, right? Just go with the flow. The idea here is to bring about positive transformation in ourselves, in our families, in our communities, in our country, in our world, not to bring about, you know, more disaster or more aggression in any way, shape, or form. Okay. Let's see. Where is Chiron? Pauline says Chiron is in Aries today at 23 degrees, 29 minutes. The sun is also in Cancer at 23 degrees, 29 minutes. That puts them in a square. The sign of Cancer, the nurturing mother, emotional, intuitive, sensitive sign of Cancer in a square to the more militant, impulsive nature of Chiron in Aries. So let's talk. Oh, before I go there, I wanted to talk about the gate that in your human design that Mars and Uranus are conjunct in. And this one caused me no end of consternation, because as I looked at it, I thought it to have these two planets of change and not usually very pleasant change, right? Change, it can be, but it's certainly sometimes more of the unexpected nature. And the gate 8 in the I Ching is called the gate of contribution. In your human design, it is also the gate of contribution. And the next word underneath contribution is uniting. And it says, inspiring trust and providing possible outlets for those who foster and create novel concepts and ideals. And then it says, co-creation is realized by the contributions of individuals to promote the personal empowerment of one and all. So it's not just about your what you do or where you stand. It's more about what you contribute or what you desire to contribute through your passions to the collective in the world. And both of those are at the line 2 or in the line 2. So 8.2, you might see it. And that says, being the friend. Friendliness is an expression of the highest human ideal. You naturally empower others through your presence, encouragement, and contributions. It has such a positive, upbeat sound, right? So the gate 8, and the gate 8, by the way, sits on the throat center. So it's involved with what we are creating. It's involved with what we are putting out there into the world. So the idea of uniting in the collective. Sit on that one for a while. How does someone died. Someone else was murdered. Someone else was almost murdered. How do we get that? How did we get there? How did we get there that people will take an AK-40s, an AR-15, whatever it was, rifle, into a crowded facility in an event and start shooting? How did we get there? So we have to think about the contribution we're making individually as well as collectively. And that's the highest potential, I think, of that Mars-Uranus conjunction. All right, let's go to Chiron. So you all know that squares are more difficult. A conjunction joins together two energies. A square brings them into a challenge, right? It is tense. There's a tension, and that tension is driving us to do something, right? To break the tension, right? How do we solve that? And the tense and challenging situation here is about emotional healing, particularly as it relates to our personal identity, as in that's where Chiron is, our self-worth, and our emotional security. And Chiron is often referred to as the wounded healer. So there's wounding and healing potential here. It isn't all just about the wound and the triggers of the wounds. It's about what do we do once wounded? How do we go through the healing process? And the theme of individuality here is being highly triggered by Chiron and has been for a while, right? But now it's in a square to the sun. The sun is the ego, the identity, the personality of the time that we're in. And it is the struggle then for each one of us to assert ourselves in the world in the most positive and most contribution-oriented way, right? If we look at it that way. The sun in Cancer highlights the themes of emotional nurturing, of family, of the home, and then, of course, Chiron, the healing of the emotions that we're holding around that, right? The lack of that, perhaps, in our lives and so forth. So we have a struggle for self-assertion that is coming up here. We have the difficulty in asserting ourselves, our identity, especially when it feels at odd with what we've grown up with, or when we feel like a fish out of water, right? Or when it comes and bumps up against our family's traditions or expectations of us. So then it can show up as a struggle or tension between pursuing our personal desires and maintaining emotional comfort and safety. So we're having to push boundaries a bit here. There's a certain vulnerability here in self-expression, that there might be increased sensitivity, that we're feeling very sensitive, as if we reveal our true wants or desires or thinking to others, that we wouldn't be accepted or we wouldn't be loved. So the vulnerability to be able to express our truths, to be our true selves, is a part of what's being healed here. And of course, as part of that, then we're healing the old emotional wounds that by revisiting past hurts, by bringing up the old wounds, perhaps related to childhood or family dynamics, Cancer themes, right? Or the early environment that you grew up in and how that's shaped your security or your sense of self. And it's a time when these deeper issues might surface for us to heal, right? In different ways, those different triggers that come up. So it's a huge opportunity for deep healing, for finally maybe releasing the things that, you know, have been a part of your life. Remember, as I said, I sat at my sister's funeral doing the Ho'oponopono prayer over and over and over because I was being so triggered by an interaction that occurred when I was 3 years old. Did not realize how deeply that was, you know, in me and how that would still be able to hurt me. So the opportunity for deep healing along those lines is very much prevalent at this point. It offers us an opportunity for deep healing and understanding, right? It doesn't mean that by forgiving, we say it's okay that you did that to me. That's not what we're saying at all. We're saying, okay, I get it. I forgive you. I forgive myself for holding on to this, and I'm releasing it, right? I'm letting this go. I understand this was a part of an experience I had. It's made me who I am, right? So now we also need to go through a process of balancing our personal desires and emotional needs with those of everyone around us, right? There can be this conflict between interdependence on one side and dependence on the other side. And it's often an internal conflict, right, that is coming up. We want autonomy and independence. Those are very Chiron and Aries themes. But we also need the emotional connection and support of family, of friends, of our networks. That's a very Cancer, Sun in Cancer theme. So family relationships could be the battleground for working through these issues in our lives, with conflicts possibly coming up from your past to push you to deal with them, to deal with the underlying emotional pattern. And then in that process, you can look and see how, for in my case, a decision or an event that happened when I was 3 years old, how it has pulsed off and on throughout my life and run the decisions I've made, right? Chiron, deep healing, the Sun showing you what those emotions might have done for you. So it's a time, the square will bring up a time for self-reflection and in that personal growth. But also it's a great time to get therapy or counseling, get a session, you know, even an astrology session can help to align you with the truth. Maybe through journaling, maybe looking at your relationships with new eyes, right? New feelings, new eyes. It's a time for compromise, not the bad kind of compromise, but the kind where I understand. Right? I understand. I can work towards understanding, balancing my needs with someone else's needs. And we might have to find new ways to support one another in the world at large, but also in our families, in our communities, in our personal lives. So building emotional resilience is definitely a part of this. The strength that it takes to move through those challenges, right? And to come out at the other end. So lean on the people that you trust. Let others, you know, come to you and you be their rock if that's what they need. It doesn't mean that you need to be used and abused by anybody, but seeking support, we're in this together, right? So we have to watch out for heightened emotional sensitivity, right? We've already got that volatility going on from Mars Uranus, and now we have Chiron and the Sun bringing up more of that emotional sensitivity, which can lead us to overwhelm and being overly sensitive. And we might be feeling overwhelmed by emotion or by our family issues. And then what that means is we need to take time for self-care, for nurturing ourselves, setting boundaries, right? So you shall not pass, right? Don't cross that boundary. And then watch out for reactive behaviors, right? Those triggers that can happen and send you over an edge. And one of the greatest healing tools that we can engage is vulnerability, healing through vulnerability, recognizing that allowing vulnerability can lead to profound healing. It doesn't lead to weakness, right? It makes everything more authentic when we can be vulnerable with each other and share with one another on that deeper level, right? So, you know, we're getting closer to the end of Chiron's transit through Aries. It's not for another year, but we're piling up the lessons here. And this square with the Sun is kind of a test. A test that says, okay, how much have you healed? How much is still left undone? I was shocked at how much is still left undone, how much I was still holding on to. And I bet there are a lot of you out there holding on to stuff that it's time to let it go, right? So allow this to happen. Now, I was also interested to see where gate, what gate that Chiron was in at this time. And Chiron is in the gate 42. We know the sun is in the gate 62 because we talked about that on Friday. And the gate 62 is about seeing the details, right? Not skipping steps, that kind of thing. But Chiron is the one I was interested in because for the longest time he sat at gate 51. So there were shocks and there were, you know, the unexpected things that were happening because of the nature of awakening, awakening to the wounds in our consciousness. Well, now Chiron sits at the gate 42, which in quantum human design is called celebration and or endings. And in traditional human design was called completion. So the 42 is found on the sacral center, so the second one up from the bottom. And it's associated with life force energy then. It's associated with sexuality. It's associated with work. And it's part of the tribal circuitry. I don't talk often about the circuitry. One of these days we'll have to have a class about this. The tribal circuitry focuses on relationships in the family, in the support that we get in family and community, and the values that we share through family and community. The main thrust of the tribal circuitry is the energy of love, relationship, right? Individuals, family, community. So the themes of the gate 42 are all about completion of something and releasing of something. It embodies that energy of completion, of bringing something to an end. So it's about finishing a cycle and then reaping the rewards of the efforts of doing the healing work of Chiron in this case. And it encourages us to bring things to a fruitful conclusion where we can say, okay, this is done. We're done with this. Acknowledging your growth, the growth that has occurred in the time period that Chiron is here. Recognizing and celebrating the journey, not just the destination, right? It's a journey. It's not a destination. It is about healing through completion. And that really means addressing any unfinished business that you have in your life, any unfinished pain or wounding that it's time to take care of, and the practical tasks that need to be done to bring it to a close, right? If you need to do Ho'oponopono over and over and over to bring it to a close. So it is about closure and healing. And that is what Chiron is bringing us when we do the emotional work here. It is about reflecting on past cycles that we have lived through. And what have we learned through the various cycles of time that we have been a part of in our lives? No matter what age you are, you've come through different life cycles and still have other life cycle patterns in front of you. And especially the ones that have involved pain or struggle, and use the insights that you've gained for healing, right? Integrating the lessons that we've learned through this transit as we seek our identity, our true authentic selves, as we really lend our lives to being authentic, right? And to be in our own authority. And what might have been once a source of pain then can be turned into a source of wisdom and strength. That is the Chironic path, right? So finish any lingering things that are hanging over your head, right? This is a great time to do that. Celebrate your achievements and don't be afraid to look at what still needs to be done. Self-reflection, of course, is big during this period of time. Watch out for resurfacing of the old wounds, right? They tend to come back at you in different ways, right? The completion of a cycle can often be the trigger for old emotions, especially if past endings were traumatic and unresolved, right? So that comes back up, giving us another opportunity to release the wound, to heal the wound. But it can be difficult because we're handling emotional pain now, right? Be prepared to handle that. Be prepared to work through it, not to project it outwards onto other people. We can have difficulty letting go. This is a big challenge here, letting go of the old, even if the if even if what you've been doing is painful and unproductive, we like to hold on. So this is an opportunity to bring it to an end, right? We're done. And then embrace by that action, a new beginning, right? A new beginning, being open to letting go, moving forward, and unencumbered by those past wounds and pain. All right. Now, what else did I want to talk about here this morning? It's 8:54. Let's talk about Jupiter. I think it's on Wednesday. Hold on, I'll tell you right now. It is on Tuesday, the 16th, tomorrow, that Jupiter changes gates, moving into the gate 35. He will be in that gate from July 16th until August 16th, so for about a month. And the 35, remember, we're in Gemini energy, and Gemini energy is the throat energy. And the gate 35 is called the voice of experience. Every gate, we could bring a voice to it, right? In the 35, it's about expansion through experience. So there's a bit of an adventurous spirit that we adopt here in the gate 35. It encourages us to be adventurous and to experience something new, right? To go for what is new. There's a drive to explore and to try new things and to broaden our horizons. So very Jupiterian, right? It's Jupiter in its best here. But this isn't just learning from a book or from, you know, listening to a podcast. This is learning by doing. The transit actually of Jupiter through the 35 is about gaining experience and gaining wisdom and knowledge by engaging actively with the world around you. Go out and try it. See what happens. There is a bit of storytelling here and communication. And it's the story of the experience, right? So we used to have a friend, he died many years back, but his favorite saying was, been there, done that. Been there, done that. No matter what it is you tried to tell him, he'd been there, done that, right? He was like, I don't know, 5 years younger than Terry and I, but he'd always been there, done that. And then when we'd ask him to share the experience, he could go on to share the experience of the been there, done that. So this gate brings up that storytelling, communication aspect of ourselves, right? We want to be able to share our experiences, but without getting jaded. See, often when Rod would say that, been there, done that, I felt like he was jaded in that experience and he was shutting himself down from experiencing it anew. So we want to walk that fine line between the old story that we tell of the experience that we already had versus the new experiences that can be had when we look at it with new eyes or we approach it with a new action, right? So there's a strong urge to share our experiences and stories, but make sure that the jaded aspect stays out of it. Right? We want to be able to say, this is what I learned. This was my experience. Your experience could be completely different. But this was my experience. This was my takeaway. That's what we want to share. Because your stories and experiences that you share have significant impact on others now. Right? We tell people things. We share our experiences. But if we automatically set it up as a negative, then that impacts those people that we're telling. So it's time to inspire, to teach, to influence those around you through your narrative, through what you say, how you share what you have been through. Embrace change. Again, we can't help but this. It's always, it's like a thread that goes through everything right now, this idea of change and transformation. This is dynamic change. Jupiter's influence brings growth and expansion, right? We're moving outward and often through change, right? Something changes and we grow, right? So be open to the transformations that can occur as a result of new experiences. Be adaptable. The 35 is on the throat center. The throat center is where resilience really comes to the surface, right? We're resilient here. So seek new experiences, new travels, exploration, check out new learning opportunities, enhance your storytelling skills, right? Really catch yourself when you're telling people stories. Share your experience, and it can be done through writing, through speaking, through music, through art. through dance, through poetry, right? Share. Embrace growth and set goals that can help you align to your next opportunity to create, right? Watch out for some things, right? A couple of things. And I'm going to do this one quickly. Too many experiences, then we get into overwhelm, right? So the desire for new experiences can sometimes lead us to leaping into and out of things, right? We're just leapfrogging all over the place. So you want to be mindful of pacing yourself. You don't want to get into overwhelm. Don't take on too much. You don't want to take it all on and then have to go into overwhelm. Balance stability and change, right? They are not mutually exclusive. They both have to exist in harmony. Clear communication, also very important during this period of time. Listen to what it is you're saying when you're saying it. Is it positive and inspiring, or is it dragging people down? Is it jaded, right? Watch that. All right. So that is it for me this morning. I did want to talk about the move of the Black Moon Lilith into Libra. Finally, we're done with the 9 months of her going through Virgo. Now she's in Libra, but we can talk about that on Friday somewhat. Also on Friday, I will have Pia and Colin with me, right? Our monthly get together with them. And I also wanted to remind you that on the 29th, which is a Monday, so it'll be my regular broadcast, I will be interviewing the author of the book, Everyday Awakening, Catherine Duncan, 5 practices for living fully, feeling deeply, and coming into your heart and soul. There was something I read here, your roadmap to living a life fully engaged. Catherine teaches you how to stop sleepwalking through your life and start living it. That phrase, right? I felt like I'd been sleepwalking through my life. So I can't wait to talk to her. And that'll be on Monday, the 29th. But I'll tell you more about that as time goes. All right. Thank you so much for joining. Oh, I got to do a card. I got to do a card for the week. Let's do a dragon. Let's take a dragon in. Sorry, I almost forgot to do a card, guys. Bear with me for another couple of minutes here. I feel like dragons are power, but they're power of the positive, right? The positive power. They want to be really mixed up. There you are. A white gold dragon from Lyra connects you to the highest Christ light. Develop your causal chakra. Bathe in ninth dimensional Christ light. Look at this card, you guys. Isn't that beautiful? I need to bring it back so you guys can see it better. White gold dragon from Lyra. I think we drew a very powerful dragon to us. It must be a ninth dimensional dragon. It is not. It is a seventh dimensional dragon. 98. Let's go here. All right. Lyra is the cross-shaped 12th dimensional stargate through which Archangel Krustiel and the unicorns enter our universe. The light from Lyra pours down through the moon, allowing scintillating 7th dimensional dragons to step through into the vibration of Earth. These white gold dragons embody the highest frequency of the Christ light available to everyone on this planet. They work closely with Archangel Krustiel, who is in charge of the development of the causal chakras of humanity. This is particularly important now as our causal chakra is our connection to the higher dimensions of spirit, the dragons, angels, unicorns, and masters. The white gold dragons from Lyra help to clear and develop our causal chakra and illuminate our highest possible ascension path. Guidance. These white gold dragons are attracted to you now because you already carry Christ light in your aura. Ask one to take you to the ninth dimensional pool of Christ energy held in Lakume. I don't know where that is. Visualize yourself bathing in the pool, which shimmers and swirls with pure love and light. Feel yourself absorbing all you are ready to receive. When you return, continue to feel the white gold light in your aura and practice pure, unconditional love in your daily life. Your aura will radiate the incredible high frequency of white gold, and the white gold dragon from Lyra will support you by continuing to pour Christ light into you. Take time to find a quiet, still place where you can listen to its wisdom and guidance. There we go. I think that's a good card for us to get through the week. All right, everybody. Now I can go. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. See you on Friday. Bye for now. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.